Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, bros. Thursday night. You know what that means.
Thursday night football.
Oh, yeah, I guess there is some football on right now.
Really?
What?
You got a poo-poo preseason football?
There's something bigger. Do you know what I was referring to?
Jerk.
You guys shut up.
No, I don't know. What's going on Thursday?
Andrew Nemec's show is on.
Ah, recruiting with Andrew Nemec.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on after us at 7.
I'm going to see what sort of weird sexual story we could end the show with.
Should have talked to Mia Khalifa today.
I know. Should have done the porn story.
So coming up in the club tonight, there was a guy who was the only person on his flight from Aspen to Salt Lake, and I'd like to talk about that.
Yeah, I think anytime. I know I've never had that, but I've been in a theater where I'm the only person. That's kind of it's a surreal thing. I'm assuming the flight would be even better.
It's quite odd.
Yeah.
And we will get to one of the largest human flaws that we have, which we teased this yesterday. We'll get to it today, is we don't understand our own ignorance.
Yes.
And that's a real problem.
And we had a great example of that with Jason Swigard today, who's
there is a little bit of that there.
Refusing to back down from his stupid challenge.
That'll be in the club. Maybe some Jeffrey Epstein talk. I don't know. I don't know how you're feeling today.
Boy, how about the fact he's got a broken neck?
Well, he's dead.
Well, but he had a broken neck when he died. So, yeah, everything is on the up and up, right? Nothing funny about that.
Coming up this hour, is it okay to steal signs in Little League Baseball?
Yes.
Which Pac-12 athletic departments are making money? Some other stuff. Oh, near-death experience for one big-time sports personality today.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this Boogie Cousins injury as well. So we are ready to roll, I do believe, with the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
What they have in their loins.
What it is?
Number five.
It is the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs in golf. It's the BMW Championship. They're playing this in Illinois at Medina. You may have heard of Medina.
I have. I see LT Gray out there right now.
Yeah, he's playing. The top 30 move on to next week's championship. So this now, there's a lot on the line here.
Well, he's fallen out of the top 30 after the withdrawal last week. So
well,
this,
he needs
this
to
is a big
finish.
Deal for him.
Yeah, Tiger needs to finish at worst top 10 in this tournament to make it to next week. He shot a 1-under-71 in the opening round, which puts him 50th. So he needs to pick it up. Leader Justin Thomas and Jason Kokrak. Kokrak.
Ooh.
Kokrak. 7-under. They shot 65.
Should I know who Kokrak is?
Nah, he's an American, okay. But he's kind of, yeah. No, especially you, no.
All right, the answer to that question then, no. That's all I need.
I've heard of him, but I don't know much about him.
Good answer.
Jim Furyk, Joel Dahman, Lucas Glover, Brant Snedeker, Patrick Cantlay are 6-under. Dale Earnhardt Jr., wife and one-year-old daughter survived a plane crash today. Now you may remember, Daddy died on the racetrack in a crash.
Just went Porky Pig on me there. Crash.
They were landing in Bristol, Tennessee. His private jet that he was on, there were five people total, rolled off the end of the runway and caught fire. The pictures of it are pretty crazy.
Yeah, there's nothing left. I mean, it's just, it catches on fire, and I mean, it burns. So if you look at some of the after photos, you can't even really tell it's an airplane. And yet somehow, supposedly, everyone's okay.
Yeah, they were all evacuated with no injuries, but probably a pretty scary moment for Junior.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And his family. Man, what would...
I don't know. If you're on that plane and then, well, I mean, you land, I guess, and then you start to slide and maybe you blew out a tire or something. But then, like, once you start seeing the flames, I'm guaranteed that that's a pucker factor of about 1,000.
And also, think about the world with Dale Earnhardt Sr. and the way he died. And then Dale Earnhardt Jr., he can't go out like that. And his family?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, kid and wife on board.
Preseason NFL tonight.
Catch the fever.
We've got the Cowboys and Rams playing in Hawaii, although the Rams didn't even send most of their good players.
No, not only are the starters not going to play, the most of them, like you said, didn't even make the trip. Gurley didn't make the trip. Quarterback, Donald, the vast majority of starters. That shows you how little they care about it.
But we do have some other games going on. The Chiefs are playing the Steelers tonight. The Eagles lead the Jags 7-0 early. Jets got a touchdown on the Falcons.
Speaking of, though, of the Rams, you watched the second Hard Knocks, right?
No, I didn't watch it last night.
Because there's a joint practice between the Raiders and the Rams, and that's they're playing over in Hawaii. The reverence that the Raiders had for Aaron Donald was really interesting. And, you know, that's a team full of professionals, and they were, like, looking at Aaron Donald and kind of talking about him like he was, like, some sort of myth. It was kind of a cool scene from episode 2. Aaron Donald, by the way, not making the trip.
By the way, a familiar name is headed to the XFL from the NFL, quarterback Landry Jones.
I know. He was the first player signed, so I guess they're going to get all their quarterbacks, draft the quarterbacks to make sure each team has a quarterback, then they'll fill out the rest of the rosters because it's a one-entity league, but... This is why I have a hard time fully getting behind it. Dude, if that's the best player you're going to get, Landry Jones, and I'm supposed to be excited about your league, nah.
All right. God, I got to... Don't you hate those, like, those Google questions that pop up?
Oh, you know, yeah.
And you can't close them out?
No, because the X on it is either hidden or it's, like, the size of a pin.
I hate those. The Pac-12 has finalized its bowl schedule. Now, this will not be this year. This is for 2020 to 2025. Their eighth and final bowl will be split between the Independence Bowl, that's in Shreveport, and ESPN-owned bowls that will be against the Group of Five, BYU, or Army. So this is their last one.
Yeah.
So here's the future Pac-12 bowl schedule. It goes Rose number one, followed by Alamo, Las Vegas, because remember the Las Vegas Bowl will be in the new Raiders Stadium, and they've upgraded the matchup there. So that's now going to be a good bowl. Los Angeles Bowl is the fourth bowl. Holiday drops to 5. Red Box 6. Sun 7. And then the Independence Bowl is 8.
I think that's actually a pretty good bowl schedule. Even the Independence Bowl, not that Army or BYU is a great, you know, like it's like a great program, but those wouldn't be bad teams to watch, you know, a middle-of-the-road Pac-12 team play. And that L.A. Bowl, eventually I'm assuming that'll be in the Rams' new stadium.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I'm not sure who the matchups are there or who the Pac-12 is playing in that bowl. Yeah. I got to look that up. But that's the new bowl schedule. I do think that's better than it used to be.
Agreed.
And then number one is that DeMarcus Cousins, who now plays for the Lakers, if you didn't follow any of the offseason stuff, he is seriously hurt again. He has a torn ACL. Yeah. He was working out in Vegas, and he had to leave the court. Apparently, he bumped knees with someone else, but it's an ACL injury, so he is going to be out a while. His contract with the Lakers is for 1 year, $3.5 million, and as is the case in the NBA with guaranteed contracts, he will get paid no matter what.
Well, it's just awful, though. You think about it, and 2 years ago, I guess that would be 2.5, 3 years ago, he was down in New Orleans. They had some momentum going with him and Anthony Davis. He was on pace for a $170 million max deal. Multiple-time All-Star, All-Pro, viewed as maybe one of the two or three best bigs in the game, tears the Achilles, right? Loses out on the big contract, has to do the one-year prove-it deal, tears his quad, has to do another one-year prove-it deal, and now he tears his ACL? I mean, God, I don't know about karma, but what did he do in a past life? This is just awful.
The Hot 5 and 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light on game day. Be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly. So I found the Los Angeles Bowl matchup. So the Pac-12 is going to be in the LA Bowl. That's going to be a new bowl. as you mentioned, in the new LA,
whatever the Rams building
the
is.
The stadium. Yeah, that whole complex. By the way,
did you
there.
See real quick? Did you see the Coliseum? They did their unveiling today.
Yes.
Looked really nice. They did a great job.
They
with that.
Redid the Coliseum. Oh, yeah. Well, they did some refurb at the Coliseum.
Looks really good.
It looks a lot better. Yeah, so the opponent in the Los Angeles Bowl for the Pac-12 will be a top team from the Mountain West.
Okay.
Which is why it slots in as four.
So you get like a Boise State or a Utah State, something like that.
Yeah, it will be one of their top teams. It's probably one of the better bowl games for the Mountain West.
Yeah.
But
it probably is. Yeah.
It may be their number one team if they don't go to the like the playoff.
That's why I said like a Boise State or a Utah State. So that's, again, that's like with the BYU Army thing. You know, it's not the SEC or whatever, but as far as an entertaining matchup goes, you know, that's not a bad addition.
I don't know why they rank them the way they do. I still think the Holiday Bowl should be fourth.
It's just payouts.
Yeah, is that why?
Yes.
So Holiday Bowl is a nice bowl. Yeah. I think that's a cool bowl.
Yeah, San Diego.
All right. Is it okay to steal signs in Little League Baseball? Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, so I was looking at photos of the new Coliseum, LA Coliseum. They've dumped $315 million into that thing.
Yeah.
And that's where, of course, USC plays, but mainly they're doing this because the Rams are playing there, albeit only one more season before they move into their new one. But a $315 million renovation project was just unveiled, and it does look super nice.
Yeah.
Now, that stadium seats...
It's like 100,000 plus. It's huge.
It can, but for USC games, they put it at 78,000.
That's because they rope off one of the end zones and I think some of the upper bowls because...
They move in temporary bleachers behind one of the goalposts.
They can't fill it all.
But, yeah, they're saying 93,607 is the most you can squeeze in there.
97?
93,607.
So the Rose Bowl is bigger then, because the Rose Bowl, I know you can get 100,000 in. But both are, if you've ever been there, I mean, they're huge stadiums compared to what you see a lot of on the West Coast for college football.
They are. I've never really thought about it, but do you think it helps or hurts that USC plays there for like recruiting and facilities and that whole thing? Because it's a huge stadium.
Yeah.
And they draw, but I don't know, like... I wonder if there would ever be a time where USC would build its own stadium.
Well, there's no room down there to build it, though.
I mean, yeah, the cost of land. And
we've talked about it before. That's the one thing that programs just don't really do, and that's build new stadiums. Like, it's just like even with Husky Stadium, they redid it, but I mean, they built it in the same thing. They tore it down, and just the land and all that. I mean, you think what it costs to build a stadium now, right?
I know, it's crazy.
I mean, if you're building an NFL stadium, you're talking about $2 billion.
Well,
the Rams is going to be, think about that. I know they wouldn't build something like that for college. The Rams stadium, by the time it's done, is going to be $5 billion.
Why would they build a new stadium when, I don't know who's paying for this, but somebody will dump $315 million into the one you already play it?
Yeah, you spend it on your facilities. And they have a new operations building, a new football building. And there's locker rooms that I saw some photos of here for USC that are really nice. But it's just not where people put their money.
No, I mean, these athletic departments, I don't know what USC's got going on, but I was telling you that we were going to tell you which Pac-12 athletic departments are making money.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to it, and, you know, there's a lot of book cooking here, so it's hard to know, but when it comes down to it, only three Pac-12 athletic departments actually make money. Now, this is not football programs. This is just overall, when they take care of all their other sports and everything, most of them are losing money. So how the hell are they going to build a football stadium?
But again, I roll my eyes when they say losing money, because this is like when the NFL teams and anyone else that can cook their books, they spend money just to spend it. And they have to fund all the other, you know, non-revenue generating sports. But if it was actually run like a real business, you would make plenty of money. It's just that it doesn't do any good to have a surplus there. So they burn through a lot of cash.
So Washington is the athletic department that supposedly makes the most. They turn a $5 million profit every year. Utah, 2.8, and then Oregon, 2.7.
Yeah.
UCLA runs flat. Everybody else loses money, all the way down to Cal, who loses $20 million a year.
Well, you know, Cal ran into this problem a couple years back. Remember, they had to do like a crowdfunding sort of thing in order to keep the Olympic sports.
Well, some of them, and they did.
Yeah, they were basically like, look, we can't afford to keep this open, so if our alum wants us to have a gymnastics team, great. You guys have to pay for it, and they did. Cal had the money to kick in and do it, but...
Well, they what they did was they threw it out to the fans of those particular programs.
Yeah, and said, fund
they
it
said,
if
hey,
it.
If you want rugby, and they have a historic rugby program down there at Cal, I don't know if you know that, but they've won multiple championships.
Yeah.
If you want to keep this, then step up, and the people that care about the program pay for it. And then they did the same with baseball, I know was in there too. And they saved, the people did save a lot of those programs.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what has come of that and how much money is being dumped into them now, but
well,
Cal is 10th on the list. Now, there's two that we don't know. Stanford and USC are private, so we can't get those numbers. But Cal is by far losing the most. And if you're wondering about Oregon State, they are 7th in the Pac-12, having lost or showing a loss of $8 million per year.
And you wonder, too, like, is this independent of private donations that are coming in? You know, there's...
And I say $8 million per year. These numbers are 2018.
2018.
So they can vary.
There's just so many different ways. You just can't convince me that Power 5, most big Power 5 programs are hurting for money. Now, I do think the Washington States of the world and the Oregon States and some schools like that, yeah, I think there is a bit of a budget crunch. It's when remember when the Pac-12 money started rolling in for the very first time, Oregon State paid down debt. And I know people got pissed at it, but I thought it was a real responsible thing they did. And we're like, look, we're not USC. We're not Texas. We're not Ohio State. So I think for some schools, Cal, Oregon State, Washington State, maybe the Arizona schools, this applies. But to your bigger programs, your elite programs, your top 25 programs, Don't cry for me. Okay. Don't give me the sad song here that you're hurting for money. Stop it.
I wonder
when you're building $100 million facilities.
Yeah. I wonder if it's ever going to get to the point where schools will be building stadiums. I mean, the only one I can think of is Stanford. Stanford built an all new one.
Stanford built an all one. UW tore theirs down to the ground and built a new one.
Yeah. I guess technically that is a new,
that's a new one. I know Minnesota built a new one a number of years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
They built a smaller, intimate one. But, I mean, Cal's undergone, basically people renovate. Because Memorial Stadium at Cal, when I played there, that thing was such a hunk of crap. And they've dumped a bunch of money into it. And I don't know how many people can, I doubt there's programs that can spend the money to build a new stadium. But renovations, I think, are the way to go. Or, like, I don't remember many people like Washington. I mean, they tore that thing down and built it in the same spot. But, I mean, that's as big a one that I can remember outside of Stanford. Because I think, like you said, I think Stanford's was all new.
Yeah, I wonder, because they got to raise money and, you know, do it that way now. But I just wonder if you ever get to a point where college football just breaks off and actually stops with the whole amateurism thing. And, like, it becomes big business and you don't have to worry about the other non-revenue generating sports, and you start to get a better fan experience with more stadiums and more money being thrown at. You know, right now it's kind of a charade, right?
Yeah.
It's all a big charade.
Yes.
And we love college football, but let's be honest, it's a business. It's a big money business.
Well, it's absurd when you look at what coaches make and you look at what administrators make and what season tickets cost and all that. And then anyone tries to claim, you know, poverty. Oh, and by the way, you claim that you can't afford to pay the players. I mean, stop.
But again, but we've covered that ad nauseum. Yeah. It's just, I'm just looking ahead thinking, I wonder if we ever get to a point where all that changes and we look back and laugh at this time.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And we are getting new stadiums. And again, that doesn't mean Oregon builds a brand new one on the other side of town. Just you go bigger and better with the one you have, kind of like what Washington did, or you just get the big money to throw at the fan experience, because that really is lacking in college football.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're building new arenas for basketball and when they're building new NFL stadiums, they're building these things with the fan experience, Major League Baseball parks for sure.
Yeah.
With the fan experience in mind. And because you can't just be about the game. It has to have more for fans for them to pay the money to go. And college football doesn't have that. College football still is relying on just you want to go watch your team.
Yeah.
It's some of it's uncomfortable. The long lines, the bathroom situation's bad. You know, there's not a lot of cool places to go hang out if you don't want to sit in your seat. You know, there's all these different stuff for kids. There's all these different things that college football is so behind the times on. And I get why, but it's like they're hurting themselves with this whole amateurism. This the whole model is like, it's hurting them because they're always bitching about how nobody's going to games anymore. Well, that's part of the reason why.
Yeah, the whole model is stupid. But the other thing that comes into this is, like, let's say you're building an arena or a stadium for the Rams or whatever. one, that is going to be a privately held thing, which, by the way, a lot of times the people pay for, which is the greatest thing in the world. And that's roping in people from all over, you know. But when you're in LA, right, you don't just have one team. You've got to deal with USC. You've got to deal with UCLA. You've got to deal with all the other colleges that are out there. You put an NFL team in Seattle, you're drawing from all over the state of Washington. You're probably drawing some from Oregon. You're drawing from all over because there's only 32 of those entities. You're building a college stadium. How many other colleges are you competing with for that dollar, for that ticket? So it just makes it harder and harder for those programs to build the monstrosities and the, you know, the sort of fan-friendly experiences that the pro teams offer just because of the model of it.
You know who's building them? Smaller schools.
Yeah.
That are putting in, you know.
Colorado State, I know, just did one.
That's right, Colorado State.
It's supposed to be gorgeous.
It's 220 million. I was just looking at that one. 220 million. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. And it's 41,000 people.
And I've heard that it's modeled, the Minnesota one they built is supposed to be kind of the new model for college football. It's small, it's intimate, it's kind of like the Camden Yards thing, right? They've done this really nice job, but it's not $1 billion. And yeah, you're right. A lot of smaller programs are costing less and they can come up with it.
All right. We've got Little League baseball drama. Now, Oregon doesn't play until Friday.
The Sprague boys, right?
Yes. They're in there and they're going to play Friday. There's a manager accusing another Little League World Series team of stealing signs, and he's not happy about it. Barrington, Rhode Island Little League, the New England region's representative in Little League World Series, is accused of stealing signs to help get to the pinnacle of the sport in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So.
Okay.
Am I teasing that? I think I'm teasing that. Let's do that next.
I feel like you're teasing it. Are you not?
That was certainly a tease.
All right.
See, this is what kind of throws me off, and Lynch is with me on this one. Sometimes you tease things, and then you wait for us to comment on them, but it feels like a tease, like you're going to break, but then you awkwardly wait for us to say something.
I'm not going to lie. I was stuck in the middle on that one.
Okay.
Because it's 5:27.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the break time.
Yeah. And I wanted to start it.
Yeah.
But now we can't.
Well, because here's the thing. You also went, all right, which was it meant the end of the segment. Yeah. Here's what's next. Awkward right, look, pause.
Look, no one knew what look, to do with it.
Okay.
No
I'm going to the Hall of Fame for radio.
Yes.
But that wasn't a Hall of Fame moment.
I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're forgiven.
All right, Bill.
You're okay.
So, and I probably won't be in the Hall of Fame for radio. But manager accuses Little League World Series team of stealing signs. Is this a big issue? We get to that next on The Fan. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Little League World Series is starting. Oregon has a team from Sprague down there, or over there. Over there, up there, Williamsport.
Now, these are all like all-star teams from around the area, right?
Yeah.
It's not like one Little League team. This is the best in that area, correct?
Yeah, I believe that's how it works.
I'm not super up on my...
Oh, wait, really?
Little League World Series.
And you call yourself a sports host?
I tell you, the Little League World Series, while I do understand the allure of it, I find children's sports being propped up and put on TV, I find it...
I don't think I have ever watched the Little League World Series more than like 10 minutes in my life. Yeah. Even when I was playing Little League, I did not care.
Yeah, I flip it on from time to time, but it doesn't do anything for me.
For me, it's the same every year. Every time I watch it, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Some kids have funny, witty things in their little profiles.
Hit dingers. Yeah. And then they have who's the gal? Is it something Davis? Monique Davis?
Mona. Not Mona. Monet.
Monet Davis.
Davis.
That was a fun story.
Hey, did you know there's a girl in this Little League World Series too?
I didn't.
There have only been 19 girls that have played in the Little League World Series.
And she was great. The Davis
shutout.
Was dominant.
She threw a shutout in 2014. She was the last girl. And now there's a girl by the name of Maddie Frecking. She's a second baseman for Coon Rapids Andover.
Which is
a little uncomfortable, but that's in Minnesota.
The Sports Illustrated that did the Where Are They Now? A couple weeks back, remember, they did this piece on A-Rod. The Monet Davis gal was in there, too.
What's she doing now?
I think she's going to school for volleyball, believe it or not. Or maybe it's softball. I don't
really?
Know. She's not playing baseball anymore, obviously. But she is going to college, Moorhead or something. I don't know. They did a you know, this is what she's doing now.
Hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
But, yeah, these are 12 and 13-year-olds. And I've always thought that they should move the fence back. You know, I feel like the fence is too short.
Really?
Yeah, every time I watch it. But it's the same game. It's just, I don't know. It does nothing for me either.
There's
anyway.
There's like one large kid on the mound, and he's pumping gas, and, right, no one can touch him.
Yeah, and the strike zone's terrible. It's like they call everything a strike. It's like, really? Anyway, there's this manager out there in Rhode Island. He's the Barrington, Rhode Island Little League. They're the New England region representative in the World Series, and they're accused of stealing signs.
Okay.
Now, Pat Dutton is the manager of the New Hampshire team, which lost to Barrington. And he said, you can see runners on second base leaning in, looking in, and they're doing hand gestures to their kids at the plate, indicating what kind of pitch it is and where it's located. You can do that in big league ball, but in little league, it's unsportsmanlike. It's dishonorable and it's disgusting. They did it the whole tournament and got away with it. And now that's what's representing New England in the Little League World Series. It's just a bad look. Now,
shut up.
Let me just. Exactly.
Well, it is in the rule book. It actually is.
Is
it? Yes. It is in the Little League rule book that it is unsportsmanlike to steal signs.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Is it in there that it's unsportsmanlike, or is it in there that it's illegal?
They call it unsportsmanlike. And I don't know what that means, but.
That means that it's unsportsmanlike.
Well, I know, but I don't know what that means in terms of like punishment.
None of this surprises me. When I look at
Super Dad needs to shut up.
Exactly. I'm with Mike 100% on this one. Super Dad, who, by the way, it's Super Dad that's in charge of stealing the signs, and it's Super Dad that's in charge of being like super pissed off that someone's stealing the signs. It's Little League Baseball, and this is kind of my whole point. They're 12. Go away to all the parents. I mean, geez.
This happened to me when I was playing Little League. My dad was my manager in Little League for, I don't know, like 5 years or something. And there was a rule in the rule book that he didn't know that I pitched 2 playoff games in a row. And that's against the rules. He didn't know that. And because our team won and made it to the final, they threw a hizzy fit. And he was banned from going to the game and managing the final. He had to watch from outside the park. Because he broke a rule he didn't know existed.
Oh. Well, like, they kicked him out because he threw a tizzy?
No, they threw it at him. He was like, how am I supposed to know that?
Oh, I see.
And they're not allowed to coach the team.
Well, look.
Why? It's Little League.
Yeah, in this instance, well, first of all, I think it's stupid that we put this stuff on TV. Like, it's on ESPN.
Yes.
So you are making it beyond little, it's no longer Little League Baseball when people are making a bunch of money off of it and it's on ESPN. And so that to me right there, it's not Little League Baseball. It's like the highest, you get to the highest level of anything
and it's
albeit
not,
it's 12 and 13. It's like, that's where, of course they're going to steal signs.
Yeah.
You know, that's baseball.
And that's kind of my,
so why would you think that if you're going all the way to that height, to the top of the top of Little League Baseball in this country, why on earth would you honestly expect teams not to be stealing signs, even though maybe on the Little League level out in Vancouver, Washington with your 10-year-old, it's against the rules or it's unsportsmanlike? I just think that's stupid to now expect that on the highest level, nobody's doing that and nobody should do that. That's baseball. And he said there's something these kids don't learn on their own. That's something that they're taught. They're coached to do that. Obviously, the team condones it. They coach it. And personally, that's something that I'm completely against. Little League is supposedly against it, but you wouldn't know it this week. And that, I think, is dumb. Like, I feel like
there's no more.
Why can't you teach?
They don't learn it themselves. They teach. It's taught from the coaches. Yes, because it's
exactly
part of baseball.
Because that's baseball. I feel like you teach that. I don't know. I was teaching my kid at a young age to watch the pitcher, look for tips and pitches and steal signs, like all that stuff. That's base. That's the game.
Yeah. If they're stealing signs, teach your catcher to put down multiple fingers.
So this, what?
You know, put down multiple fingers. Oh, like they do.
Yeah. Or switch up the signs
or
whatever.
Give him the bird. And this is why, just this conversation we're having is why I roll my eyes at the Little League World Series. Because this conversation that's going on all over the country right now, and there's like grown adults yelling and screaming at one another over this, and dads complaining and wanting to fight one another. It's over a 12-year-old baseball game. There's no, and I don't know if you had this with meat because you went through it, and Mike, you haven't yet. You'll see this when you have your kid if he ends up playing baseball. Of all the little kid sport entities, so football, basketball, soccer, to me, there's, and maybe this is just the tradition of the game, there's no more what's the best way to put it? Obnoxious, overbearing, uptight organization than baseball. It's just ridiculous.
In terms of like the governance
of the
sports.
Doesn't that kind of translate to Major League Baseball too? It's a pretty uptight sport.
And that's kind of what I was saying. It's just that anyone that's had any experience with any local Little League will tell you that no youth group takes themselves more seriously and has more of just these arbitrary sort of, I don't know, the rules and regulations or the overbearing parent than baseball. Little League Baseball, it's insufferable.
I found football to be the most intense and the most like out of whack when I went through it. But that's just one guy's experience. I just think football is really, well, first of all, football's football.
Well, that's been well established.
Football's football.
Football is football.
Football is football.
So, but when I dealt with football, I feel like it's getting younger and younger where it's becoming way over prioritized and like way more important to too many people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like football's getting a little out of whack.
It is.
Baseball has that, but I think it has it at the elite levels. In my experience, it was not at Meat's level. He had actually some pretty good, fun little,
I just remember my kid playing Little League and like people freaking out over like borders. Like, oh, well, this kid lives a mile from where he should, so he's not going to play there. I don't care what school he goes to. He goes there.
Well, was it elite level stuff?
It was just Little League. Yeah. And I just remember just looking around being like, oh my God, people, it's 10-year-old baseball. Everyone just lighten the hell up.
Well, parents.
And then the other one too that gets me is the GoFundMe stuff. Like I have no problem. Like your kid makes the All-Star team, right? And they go to the Little League World Series. I think that's cool for the Sprague boys. Hey man, that's awesome. You get that opportunity. Go. I hope you have fun. I hope the adults don't ruin it for you and that you just have this cool moment that you can remember for the rest of your life. But like they do all like the crowdfunding stuff. It's like Kickstarter, pay for my kid to go play in the Little League World Series. No. I'm paying for your kid to go play in the Little League World Series. That stuff baffles me. Like the cost of this, like the travel teams, it's like, well, we got a great opportunity for our boys to go play AAU basketball and then go play in Hawaii, but we got to raise $10,000. Do you want to donate? No, I don't want to donate so your kid can go play basketball in Hawaii. Like it's just that whole thing. It's U Sports has just become like everything else. It's just become a money-making thing. As opposed for an opportunity for the kids to actually go out and play. So again, the idea of the Little League World Series and kids getting to compete against other kids from around the country and the world is awesome. But all the other stuff that goes around it to make it that, it leaves a real bad taste in my mouth.
Well, I for one have no problem with Little Leaguers stealing signs. If I was like a volunteer coach for my kid, I wouldn't even know that that was not allowed to happen.
Yeah.
I would have been like, hey, you're on second base. Yeah. Watch.
But then someone would have come and screamed at you. And then like Mike's dad, you would have been kicked out and then you had to watch the game through the fence.
Yeah.
And well, then another dad would have called you like an a-hole and then a fight would have broke out.
Anyway, it's all out of whack, man. It's all crazy these days, but, such is life.
Someone said, I laughed when I saw the Sprague's GoFundMe page. I grew up in Salem. Sprague is like Lincoln. They're the rich kids and they can afford this. And
well, I kind of assume, okay, this is going to be terrible of me.
Yeah. It's not like every family though.
No.
Right. But this is going to be terrible, but I've assumed that all the Little League World Series teams are the kids that have the most resources to be the best at Probably. That age.
Well, that's why a couple years ago it was cool. The Jackie Robinson Little League squad from like Chicago. It was like a bunch of like poor inner city kids. And I remember that being like a big deal because it wasn't that. It wasn't the elite rich kids.
Well, I hope I'm wrong about that, but I just kind of...
Yeah, it tends to go that way in U Sports.
I don't know. Maybe that's just a sort of a, I don't know, just a bad attitude about it. But that's how I've always thought
now,
of it.
The HBO Real Sports did a piece on this a while back where this has become a billion-dollar business, and there's all these like sports complex.
They're building youth sports complexes.
Yes,
yeah.
And they're bringing in kids from all over, and there's this like real pressure from parents that if you can't afford to pay, like what if you're just, you know, you're a mom and dad, and you know you've got a bunch of other kids, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, we need this much money so that you can go back and do it. I mean, just that's. You don't have the budget to do it. Then you're left being like, hey, someone pay for me and my kid to go back there. It's just a weird. I don't know, the privatization, the commercialization of 12 and 13-year-old sports is just something that I've never been able to be comfortable with or get my head around.
All right, coming up next, something is going away, thankfully. 544 on the Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
A couple of texts, better you today, text line. A lot of people chiming in on the Little League baseball story that one of the coaches of the team that did not make it to the Little League World Series lost to a team that did, and that team stole signs, and he was upset about that. Here's one that says, this dad probably stole signs too, but he's just pissed the other team did it better. there could be truth to that. Stealing signs in baseball is not a big deal. That's why you do different things to throw the other team off. Last I looked, Little League is baseball. I agree with that too. Like, it blows me away that they call that unsportsmanlike.
Yeah.
When you're trying to just teach the game, teach the kind of the, I don't know, the nuances of the game.
Well, is there
any difference because they view it as cheating?
Well, but
I wonder
it's
if
not.
If there's any difference, like if I was teaching my kid to play football, although he didn't play, but if I was teaching a 12 or 13 year old to play football, I would teach him to try to recognize tells, right? You know, if the guard's pulling or the quarterback or if, hey, listen for this. If they're audibling to something, I would teach them to
I mean, I am totally going to go out on a limb here because I'm just trying to see the other side of it. I guess you could say that if you get young enough, you can't make the signs complicated to the point where you're, in other words, the signs have to be fairly simple for your team to get them.
Yeah.
So that would also be fairly simple for the other team to steal them, which is maybe why they say don't steal because, well, the other kids are idiots. So therefore, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I do.
So maybe that's the spirit of that rule.
It's possible.
But these kids are 12 and 13 years old. I'm sure that you can make signs complicated enough that the other team can't steal them and your kids can still understand them.
I remember being in Little League. I was a catcher and I only caught when our best player, Adam, who was the only good player we had, because he was also the best pitcher. You know, he was the best everything. So when he would pitch, I would catch. And I remember, like, our big secret sign was when you wanted a curveball, the coach would just hold up the number two from the dugout. And that meant that we were throwing a curveball. It was really, really sophisticated stuff. Like, at the time, I didn't think anything about it, but he would, like, do it on the sly. Like, he'd be folding his arms, then he would just, like, he'd flash you a two, and then that was, we both knew the curveball was coming.
And this is the thing, too. So they're 13 and 14 years old, right? Or 12 and 13, you said?
Yes.
That's Babe Ruth League already.
Yeah, like, they're old enough.
You're not even in, I mean, every Little League is different, but in my Little League, you had T-ball, T-shirts, minors, majors, and then you went to Babe Ruth. Like, all those levels is, you're young, and it's probably too complicated to have two or three signs. Once you're in Babe Ruth, you're basically playing high school baseball just a year away.
Yeah,
it's
no,
really
I...
It's really stupid.
I'm with you. And that's why my, you know, weak argument of you got to keep them simple, it doesn't really fly either. So I just, another text is, don't like it, have better signs. I mean, that's typically how I feel. It can't be that hard to throw the other team, or keep the other team from stealing
signs.
Can
I just throw out my universal thought on any youth sport? Dude, they're 12-year-olds. Get over it, man. Just, God, stop taking it so seriously. They're 12 years old. That's the one thing that I most... like an old fuddy-duddy about.
Yeah,
like,
but he had a chance to go to the Little League World Series, man.
I don't want to be the guy. It's like with video games or social media, whatever. I don't want to be the old man that's like, this is the way it was back in my day. But geez, what has become of youth sports to me is just an embarrassment in this country. And I roll my eyes at the vast majority of this. And by the way, I looked it up, that Monet Davis, she's going to go play softball on a scholarship at Hampton University.
Hampton softball. All right.
She's studying communications. I thought it was volleyball, but no. She's going to Hampton, which I don't know where Hampton is, but...
I believe that's Georgia or South Carolina.
One of those two? No. She wanted to play basketball. She kind of lost her love for baseball after that whole thing.
It is in Virginia.
Well, there you go. So she wanted to play basketball at UConn, but she wasn't that good. And I don't know. Some of the – as the everyone kind of grew up, she was no longer the most dominant player, right? Which is – how many times have we heard that in any youth sport? Just because you're the best player at 12 does not mean you're the best player at 18.
Yeah. Another one says, hey, you know, why does any of this other crap matter? The kids, in the end, the kids are playing, right?
What do you mean?
In other words, I think he was talking about, you know, all this other stuff that adults do and...
But I think it spills over to the kids and the kids take their cue from that. And I don't know how many of those kids really love what they're doing, or they're doing it because it's what an adult is yelling at them to do.
Yeah, I think if we just... his text was, at the end of the day, the kids get to play, don't they? So who cares about the other crap?
See, well, I don't buy that.
I feel like if we truly just let them play, it would be a mess. But that would be the most fun for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, kids... I mean, have you ever been to, like, these little kids?
Oh, that's these,
I mean,
that's
it's just... They're out there picking their butts and...
I used to laugh all the time. My kid would be playing like second base and his back would be turned to the mound. And I'm like, that's my boy.
So
go get him, son.
If parents and adults took some of the attitude that you had when the kids are pretty much just too young to really understand what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
You know, that attitude, it's like you basically just yell at him, say, or you don't yell at him, but you say out there, hey, little Nicky,
yeah.
Turn around, ball's coming. You know, we're all really positive at that age.
Sure.
Because they're just too young. So you just kind of guide them. If we had that attitude the whole way through, it would be so much better for the kids. And I think that, to that guy's point, the kids would have way more fun.
Yes. And it would still, there would still be a place for kids to play. But now we've talked about it. If you're not willing to be super dad and super mom and super kid involved in spending thousands of dollars, you get thrown away. Like, there's no room for you to play. I remember growing up, like, baseball hey, baseball is a month away. Awesome. You want to play baseball? Sure. And we had people that would play baseball for a year or two, or go try volleyball, or go try this. Hey, I'm going to go out for the wrestling team this year. I'll play soccer this year. And it was just something you did from season to season. And now it's, you got 10 grand a year and you want to pick one sport when you're 10 years old and you're going to do it year round. And this is what you're going to do. And if you don't, you can't just jump in anymore and play baseball. You know, you can't be 14 and be like, hey, I want to try out for the baseball team, or I'm going to give football a chance. It doesn't work like that anymore. And I think that bothers me. I think that was the whole point of youth sports. All the lessons that were learned in the camaraderie, and if you wanted to say teamwork and sense of community, all that stuff is been blown away by the idea of you have to pick one thing and you have to have the money to do it.
All right. My tease was something is going away, thankfully.
Yeah.
Hey, did you read that there are no more players only broadcasts on TNT?
I did. I did see this.
Thank God.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. They're doing away with that.
I thought they were going to do.
That was so awful.
Wasn't there, I know there was no more players only broadcast, but I thought they were doing some maybe players only like studio shows though instead.
Well, they did that too. They had players only night and that's all it was.
So I think while they're doing away with the players only broadcast, I still think they're doing, I'll have to go back and check on this, but I read that. I think they might be doing player only like pre and post.
What if all Little League parents, youth parents had to be behind plexiglass, soundproof, and wearing a muzzle?
Sign me up.
What do you think about that?
Sign me up. There we go. The worst part about youth sports, the parents.
All right, coming up next, it is time. We have reached the club.
Once again.
Yeah! Yeah.
Bomber's excited for it.
He sure is. We will get to all kinds of things, including a guy who was the only person on his flight.
Like I say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
From Aspen to Salt Lake. That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.